Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the people of Iman, to the people of faith, definitely during the life, most definitely with regards to good deeds, pious deeds, Allah gives the tawfiq for them to perform them, the ability to perform them in every way, in every situation, because Allah ta'ala has promised to the people of faith that after Iman, the hukum that Allah gives, the order, amalu salihat, that practice deeds and practice good deeds. So if this is Allah's hukum, order, then what we realize is that if Allah is instructing, ordering, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will most definitely have prepared for this to be done, otherwise why would He order something? So most definitely Allah ta'ala has prepared this, that do this action, so then Allah ta'ala has prepared and arranged for us to implement that, because insan, human being, is weak. That's why Allah ta'ala, when He exhorts us to do good deeds, then Allah has definitely arranged, prepared for us to do the good. Somewhere or other, Allah Ta'ala definitely brings the human being towards good amal. And towards such good deeds, Allah Ta'ala brings people in the life, so that through those good deeds, he can be freed from Jahannam, and he can get a place in Jannah. I'll give you the example, like we are sat here, what is this? This is a very great good deed, pious deed. Such a great pious deed that the good news behind this deed is such that as soon as a person attends and departs from the gathering of dhikr, then Allah Ta'ala forgives that person. His bakshish. Now tell me, we have come, me, you, we have come. Who has brought us here? Who has brought us here? Tell me. Did we come here for some, was any advert or marketing? No, nothing of the sort. But many people I can see, they are new here. Some people with the fadl of Allah are used to coming, and there are some new people stuck here. Allah Ta'ala has brought them here. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala has promised that I have arranged and given you the tawfiq. Definitely I'll give you the tawfiq so you can be saved from Jahannam, so that you can be saved from hell, and you can arrive to Jannah, paradise. So Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala went to the human being. Allah gives the tawfiq to do good deeds, nek amal, whatever amal, dhikr or salah he's given. Some deeds are such that they come only sometimes, like in the year, Ramadan comes once, it doesn't come every time. In the life, that's the year, in the, once a year, Ramadan, maybe once in the life comes hajj, doesn't come all the time. Maybe just once in the life you'll do it, and zakat is also the same. That when you have the money, the finance, you give it, and then once you fulfill it, that's it. But there are such other deeds that Allah Ta'ala time and time again, over and over again, repeatedly He enables the human being to perform them. What is that like? Salah. The time and time again, repeatedly Allah invites towards that deed. And there's another amal that Allah Ta'ala wants us to do. And Allah Ta'ala says, don't just repeatedly, rather do it kathir, in high quantity. What is that? The dhikr of Allah. So all of this is in the Quran. Look, you'll see this is written, وَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. Allah says, Allah has distributed Himself, not Mawlana Sahib, me or Peer Sahib, who's distributed the amal. Who's distributed the deeds? Allah Ta'ala is doing this. So we should have at least this much understanding, because we have understanding for other things. So just think, the action that Allah Ta'ala has given us, the status, Hajj is once in the life. Okay, we'll do Hajj. Allah's not maybe going to call us time and time again, so we're free. Ramadan, okay, come Ramadan, it comes once in the year, let's try, make effort, get the maximum. That's the case, isn't it? Salah, Allah Ta'ala says, come time and time again. So in the same way, there will be benefits for it. Allah Ta'ala knows better, Allah's wisdom, hikmah, that whatever a human being needs more, Allah Ta'ala gives him more. Say Subhanallah. What we are in need of more, the most of all we needed, wind, air. Do you go to buy air? Tell me, do you have to go to the store with a bottle to buy air? How Allah Ta'ala has distributed, for if for a small amount of time Allah Ta'ala was to eliminate oxygen, air, would a man stay alive? No, Allah's given it free of charge. Allah knew, I've given you high volume, high quantity, more, because my servants need this, so make it free for them. Free for all. We are desperately in need of it. So amal is the same thing. Deeds. That what we are in need of most, Hajj, just once in the year. We don't need this more than that. Allah says, just leave it one. You can try and do more and more for thawab, that's fine. But Allah has distributed this deed of Hajj. You've done one properly, alhamdulillah, that's enough for you, Allah says. Okay, and what's in that? The Allah Ta'ala, in that deed, Allah Ta'ala instills a lot of barakat and nur. For example, this example of Hajj. If you do a good Hajj, solid Hajj, Allah has enabled you to do one. As long as you stay alive, the nur of the Hajj will continue. If you protect it. If you protect it. That's how powerful it is. Because you only have to do it once. So Salah, we are desperately in need of Salah. We are so desperately in need for this. We cannot imagine. That's why Allah Ta'ala says, it's not a tax on us, it's not a crime or burden. Allah has not given us a punishment that five times come. Rather, we, after every Salah, we should be grateful extremely to Allah, Kareem, Allah, your karam and grace and bounty is such a great reward you have bestowed to me. Behind this, what will there be? Your name, I can understand in your salah, but behind the salah action, it cannot be some small minor reward. Five times you're calling us, definitely there's some trick behind this. That how sad and unfortunate is that person. But Naseeb, that five times a day Allah wants to give that person that he cannot understand in the world, in the akhirah Allah will explain to us that I called you for this reason for five times salah. Look what I wanted to give to you. Then will there be benefit in regretting? No, end of story. Then we'll regret. There's no benefit in regretting after that. Today is the time. Today, have courage, determination, understand these words. In this majlis, me and you have come. Allah Ta'ala has brought us here. So then He will allow us to listen to His words. I did not prepare no dars, no lecture. I don't prepare anything before I come. Rather, I thank Allah that as soon as your makhluk creation comes according to that, instill into my mind the words. And that's how the hadith come, etc. And you enjoy listening, don't you then? Yes, because it's not coming from here, it's coming from there. It's coming from above. It's not man-made, it's Rabb-made, this discussion. Yes? So it's Allah's karam, grace, that due to you coming, I get benefit as well. So this is the masla here, that the way Allah Ta'ala has distributed their deeds in that manner, method, in that way Allah Ta'ala, He is the owner of the importance and it's necessary for us, we should not delay. So after today, tie a knot. You know in Sahih Punjabi, make a gand banlo, make it solid, the salah five times, just like Allah Ta'ala said, I have to complete and implement the salah in that way. Okay? Right, let's continue. So, Allah Ta'ala gives amal and the human being to do deeds, abilities. So Allah says, do the deeds like this, so we have to do it like that. But what happens, just like dhikr, I explained to you, the yar, I go to a majlis, a gathering, Allah announces the forgiveness, all sins eliminated, evaporated, and bakshish, if you die, immediately the doors of Jannah open. If you die, left side, the angel will say, Allah has forgiven him. I tried to write his sins and his sheets. I got tired, but all his sins are eliminated, finished. Say, Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Allah will say, who are you to record his sins? I know and my servant knows. I know best and my servant knows. Allah says, and he's my ghulam. My servant, he's the Habib. My Habib, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his ghulam, his servant. Why shouldn't I send him to Jannah, paradise? So I gave him flexibility, tawfiq, and he benefited from that flexibility. So he's done. He's passed the test. He's passed the test. So Allah gives tawfiq to us to do dhikr, some ibadah. And that's why I'm explaining these words to you. That every sadqa that people give dawah, invitation, do this, do that. Dawah continues, isn't it? Propagation. But no one's calling you to himself. I'm not calling you to myself. What need do I have? Rather, I am calling towards Allah. The praise salah. The reason for praying salah isn't come to me. No, go to Allah. Do dhikr. Dhikr doesn't mean that come to me. Rather what? That do dhikr of Allah. Remember Allah. Okay? So when Allah gives tawfiq to an individual, we after Allah gives tawfiq, when Allah gives tawfiq to do a good deed, then there's a big danger is generated at that time that when a person practices, what happens? Rather than going forward, he goes into reverse gear, backwards. And I've seen in my life, experience, I've seen many games and tricks. I see and I keep on looking. I'm grateful to Allah that brothers, I see people coming, they're passionate with fervor. I want to do dhikr. I'm giving the example of dhikr. You can apply this to all other deeds. The same thing happens. The objective isn't just dhikr. All other deeds I am explaining, the same principles apply. I've just taken the word in the topic of dhikr. Someone, for example, says, I want to learn dhikr. Hazrat Sahib, teach me dhikr. I say, MashaAllah, Allah's karam. Grace, who's karam? Allah's karam. Because which deed is Allah Ta'ala giving him the tawfiq to do? That open Jannah. With one deed, I'll explain. And all the other amal are the same. Salah is a great deed. Every amal is high grade. So using dhikr as an example, what happens? The individual comes, for example, he starts to pray salah. I'm praying salah regularly. I'll pray salah. You see, you observe. Starts to disappear. Do dhikr, 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 his passionate fervor, energy, baya, and after a while he disappears, slowly, slowly disappears. And he goes backwards. Backwards. The example I'll give you like this, that if you have a race, you know people have a race, people go for a race. You see quite a few people are there stood to go in the race. 15, 20 men preparing, and then the whistle blows or the horn and they start running. Yeah, I want to get first. Yeah, there's a race. And how many people come first? One. This is the case, isn't it? And all the rest, they go down, behind, behind, slow, slow, and they fall behind. Someone lost courage, someone lost the drive, the determination. That one man doesn't lose determination, courage, keeps it running. Even if people are coming and trying to take him over, you'll see from behind, he accelerates, overtakes, 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 and eventually he is first in the race. So in the same way, tasawwuf, the path of Allah, the Allah Ta'ala's path of his qurb, we are journeying to Allah. And this is the same situation here, that a man, he comes with passion and energy, I'm ready today, I'll do this and that and this. He promises, no, today I'm going to keep the beard from today, he promises, and people forget. But who have you promised to? Not to me, to your Rabb, to your Creator. And remember this, that when you disobey your Rabb, then they're not saved, they're not free. Man can forget, he can forget everything. But Allah Ta'ala, when you promise to Allah and you forget, remember this. What's the case? That Allah Ta'ala gives a chance. Allah gives a chance. Maybe he'll understand now. Maybe he'll turn back to me now. He promised to me. Why? Because then what happens is that Allah's ghazab, he's calling out, inviting, that I don't care about promising to you. He doesn't have yaqeen and belief in Allah. He doesn't have khawf in Allah. He doesn't have fear in Allah. And he doesn't care about Allah. Because one person, for example, there's somebody who's nice and pious, you promise to him that in the evening I'll meet you. Respectful person, respectful, good person, dignity in society. You say to him, I want to meet you in the evening. Definitely, you say, come in the evening. He says, yes, I'll come. And in your mind, that point is rotating, you'll change your schedule. Because that person who you have dignity and respect for in your heart, it will pull you towards him. If there's a relative, oh, no, I need to meet that person. Please, sorry, I can't meet you. Oh, today I'm a bit busy. I've got to spend my time there. Because you know, I've got to go to that person. If I don't, then he'll be upset with me. Displeased, and his displeasure, I don't want to experience that he's upset with me. This is the case, isn't it? So, if a person promises to Allah, tell me, and he doesn't have fear that I promise to Allah, that I'll keep the bed, I'll praise Allah, I'll do this, this and this. When you promise, when a person does tawbah, who's he doing tawbah to? To his Rabb, to his Creator. And then, if he makes dramas on that, and who is he challenging? Who is he openly challenging and joking with, and playing games with, and trying to trick? If a normal person in the world, he's afraid of that person, he realizes that he doesn't have an awareness of his Rabb, he doesn't know, have no yaqeen. So in reality, what's the situation? If he doesn't, and for example, I'm going to meet that person, he's inviting the anger of that person. So if you promise to Allah, and you say, oh, I don't care, due to your nafs, then whose ghazab are you inviting? Your Rabb's ghazab, may Allah Ta'ala forgive us. So in this condition, if a person dies, then we can estimate ourselves, what will be that position of that person? What a severe hisab, accounting will have, reckoning. How severely he'll be grabbed. Though you joked with your Rabb, you played games with your Rabb, this is what you did. That so easily Allah gave you the way out, the mukammal, totally Allah Ta'ala wanted to make you his pious servant, and you ran away. This was your deed. So this is inviting the ghadab of Allah, the anger, the wrath of Allah. The person, after promising to Allah, and then he turns his face and does a U-turn from that promise. So then understand, that person is grabbed by Allah. Sibir grabbed. Firaun did that, Abu Jahl. Yes, they did this. And who stopped them? Yes, openly, flagrantly, they ate and drank and enjoyed themselves and did sins, and they did all the things on the earth, and they thought that they're successful. No, Rabbi Kareem, the Kitab, it's written. Every individual's consequence is recorded, so you can realize from a person's end point what will happen. Some people have a very bad hashr end point, that after promising to Allah, when you take your hand, put your hand in the hand of the Shaykh, it's not the Shaykh's hand, rather you are putting your hand to Allah. This is not a minor thing, such a great connection you attain. That suddenly when you take the hand of the teacher, the Shaykh, then where do you arrive to? You arrive to Medina. The Quran is saying this. Your hand, when it comes into the hand, then what happens? The destinations open up, the doors open up. And we think tasawwuf is a joke. Yes, we don't know, nothing's happening to me. Nothing happened to Abu Jahl, nothing happened to the people of the deen. And even today's not happening. Even today nothing is happening to anybody. But those people have khawf in their hearts that, Ya, my Rabb is unhappy with me, he'll become displeased with me, I've promised to him that I have no shame. Oh, it doesn't make difference. Oh, my business is running. I'm eating food, chapatis. Everything's progressing in the world for me. Shaitan comes and says, don't worry, bro. Everything's fine. The whole world's doing it. You can do it as well. What difference will it make? Beware. Beware. If you are not the whole world. You're not the whole world. Every human being has a relationship between him and Allah. Nothing to do with anyone else. You have an individual love connection. Allah has love with every individual in the world. Individual connection and relationship. Allah Ta'ala's connection is such with every human being that every human being is Allah's servant. Not this that he's special. No. Every man and woman Allah loves. Allah loves every individual separately. Say Subhanallah. So brothers, should we disobey Allah? Should we not do tawbah? Do tawbah that Allah forgive me, I've made a mistake, I've understood today. Allah, I promised you, if I promised you and I don't implement this, I'm stood on the doorstep of your ghadab. This is artificial. All the people without iman, they eat. This is not the basis of success. Basis of success was this, that your radha and your love, that I continue to follow the promise I made to you. And then on top of promising to you, doesn't matter how many difficulties I get, or hurdles or obstacles, alhamdulillah, these will elevate my status. I shouldn't have gone backwards. Rather, you would have pulled me and dragged me closer to your qurb. And then I am not scared of difficulties, hurdles, barriers after following your path. If there are difficulties today, that's why people run away. What's the reason for it? Running away, taking a U-turn. Only one person remains behind. Maybe only a few people remain behind. Only a few people. So what's the reason for this? May Allah Ta'ala not allow that we are amongst those people, but there's a danger always present. The reason for this is this, that when a person progresses and then does a U-turn and runs backwards, he stops coming and he stops, then he goes back, reverse gear, lazy, negligent, laid back, oh no, Yara, it's not important this, I need to do other things. You see those people, they came with energy, fervor, passion initially, then Ramadan, passion, energy, interest, and after that disappeared, forgotten. What's the reason for this? So let's analyze this and understand so that tomorrow if this happens to us, then alhamdulillah, we become alert, remain alert, and we depart this world with iman. Maybe always there's a danger. This could happen to us. That's today I'm sat here. Maybe you won't be here tomorrow. So the first reason for the U-turn is this. What's the reason? The reason is this, that we, when Allah Ta'ala gives tawfiq for us to do amal, like salah or dhikr, then one thing we have no care from. What's that? That our enemy, who is our biggest enemy, who Allah Ta'ala has defined and mentioned in the Quran over and over again, that he's adu'un mubin, he's your biggest enemy, he's your severe enemy. Save yourself from him. And we don't have worry or concern about him. It's like this example, that you have £1 billion or £1 million and money's in your pocket, £100,000, and the whole city, there are lots of thieves and bandits and they are pickpockets, and you have no concern. Oh, no problem, khair. It's okay. Will your pocket get, the money get stolen or not? Tell me. If the money comes into your pocket, you know there's danger. First and foremost, what you'll do is that you will protect yourself from that enemy. The yar, I need to safeguard my money so that nobody can loot me or steal from me. This is what you'll do, isn't it? So in this day and age, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if he gives you tawfiq to do an amal, say subhanallah, then is such a great wealth you're attaining that we are not understanding. For example, this dhikr, such a great wealth that we cannot imagine. It's too difficult to understand that the initiation of dhikr is bakshish, forgiveness. So what will be the end point? If the beginning point is forgiveness, tell me, what will be the end point of dhikr? Yes, where will the dhikr of Allah take us to? Such a great reward Allah is giving, such a great wealth. So behind this, will the enemy not run after to grab this wealth from us and loot it? How can it be he won't? So what should we do? Is we have no concern with the enemy, we have no concern or worry about him. No worries, I've come to dhikr, I've got everything. We've forgotten that Allah has given you the opportunity to do dhikr. So first and foremost, you have to save yourself, protect yourself from who? Nafsan. Don't be worried, don't have a lack of concern. Because when you lose concern, shaitan and nafs, then they will pull away that amal from us. And how do they pull it away from us? They instill waswasa into that person's mind. First and foremost, the waswasa he'll instill, shaitan and nafs. Because we're insan, human beings, there's no guarantee. We start doing dhikr, praying salah, good amal. Is this a guarantee that I won't sin after that? No, this is not guarantee. We're human beings. That sins that, for example, a person does a very big sin. I've done dhikr, I'm doing good deeds, I've done tawbah, repentance. There's no guarantee that tomorrow, the day after, I won't commit a sin again or make a mistake again. Definitely a human being can commit mistakes. So when a person makes a mistake, he came to dhikr, took bayah, he done everything. After that, he makes a mistake, commits a sin. Then shaitan says, oh, you're finished, brother. Though I've made you do a sin, what's the point of you doing dhikr now? What's the benefit of you doing dhikr? What's the point of doing this amal now for you? That you have done this sin in the night, you did this action, that you've committed an error. So the first thing that will happen is that if after doing a good deed you commit a sin, don't be upset. Say subhanallah. Yes, this is natural for a human being to commit sins. Fitratan, natural. Natural inclination. Yes, that the amal will not have the effect. The dhikr that you've learned that you're doing, forget that for a second. Okay, you committed a sin, but you should have total faith and believe that the amal you're doing, it will not go to waste, the deeds that you are performing. Understand this point 100%. Due to the sin you've committed, don't reject amal, the good deeds that you're performing. Even if you do zina, stealing, consuming interest, yaar, I've done zina, forget it. What's one going to do with dhikr now? Never say that. Come to dhikr, most definitely you have to come. Why? Why you have to arrive? You committed a sin? Don't care. Arrive to dhikr. Definitely still come to dhikr. Don't give up. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala alongside sin, what is kept in parallel? Subhanallah. That what will save you? Amal. You will have heard, you've committed zina, biggest sin. Whatever sin you commit, Allah Ta'ala says, do one action straight away. After that, with regret, do tawbah. Repent. Tawbah. My Lord has given me the ability to repent. So good riddance to my sins. A poet has said and written that when Allah to a human being, doesn't matter how big a sin it is, but if Allah gives tawfiq to do tawbah, then good riddance, the sins evaporate into there. And good riddance to my sins, go, no sin is with me, it's evaporated into the air. Don't even remember that sin. That's how strong is tawbah, repentance, that any sin that's committed by a human being, at that time immediately, that's look how Allah Ta'ala is prepared for tawbah. You don't have to do wudu, you don't have to go to the masjid, you don't have to go to the Kaaba, whatever condition, wherever you are, you've just done zina. After doing zina, you haven't even stopped, you haven't had a bath. Suddenly you think, what have I done? Ya Allah, forgive me, oh forgive me, not even pure. I'll say, go, my servant, I've forgiven you. That good riddance to my sins, he wrote. That Allah Ta'ala gives regret, remorse. That the person who does dhikr after committing a sin, Allah gives him the ability to of remorse and regret. He has the opportunity of remorse and regret because the noor of dhikr is gone. So remember that if you committed a sin, then that gathering, that action, the amal, never reject it. Rather, what should you do? Do tawbah, repent. Now, don't run away from that action. Don't leave it. Rather, what should one do? Do tawbah, repent, and do tawbah with this intention. Not that it won't happen again. No, no. Regret, remorse. Say, oh, how did I do this? Allah, forgive me and save me next time. Say, subhanallah. So that's it. End of story. Then go and do dhikr. Why are you running away? Then you'll get the benefit of dhikr again. Okay, the second waswasa, because shaitan, you know you can defeat him. The second waswasa of shaitan, what does he say? That oh, he's understood what is sin. And after sinning, he's getting more reward. Why shall I enable him to do sin? So shaitan says, stop, don't make him do sin. He will free you, release you. And you won't commit sins, because his objective was to end that thing that you came towards. So you've seen the cure for that, that within a minute sins evaporate. You go into the dhikr and he says, oh, leave this client of mine, I'm wasting my time. And he will nudge his students, don't run after him, don't make him sin. He is learned. And I'm getting more loss, because when he does tawbah, he gets more reward, shaitan says. Remember this. Shaitan's realized that he'll get more reward when he does regret and remorse. Oh, he's become a lion, this man. He's brave. And he's stood firm. Forget the sins. And so the sins have gone, and he's got higher thawab as well. Shaitan says, oh, he's a learned client of mine. So what we should not do is that never, for example, if you commit a sin and after doing good deeds and, oh, you stop coming in. Never stop doing the good deed or coming. Second point. Waswasa of shaitan puts, oh, I'm not enjoying myself. So he brings you towards this point now. Oh, I go to dhikr, and I heard about dhikr. When you do dhikr, this happens, that happens, you feel this, you become a wali Allah. Khwaja Moinuddin Chishti Abdul Qadir Jilani, you'll become another Data Ganj Bakshan. Through dhikr, by dhikr, you become pious and you float in the air. Then this happens and that happens, you start seeing dreams. Enjoyment. Maza. Enjoyment. The person's looking for enjoyment. Oh, what's the point of doing dhikr? And after, slowly, due to not getting enjoyment, or supernatural achievements, then he leaves dhikr because he's not enjoying himself. So what's the solution for that? First and foremost, whenever you get the tawfiq, Allah gives you the tawfiq to do a good deed. Yes, for example, you're reciting the Quran and Allah's giving you the tawfiq to do this. Don't seek enjoyment here. I want to have tears and emotions. I need to understand every word of the Quran and my beard should be wet with tears after reading the verses. No, you don't need this. That you have no link with this. Whether you enjoy or not, keep on reading the Quran. Keep on reading the Quran. Yes, there's a big reason for this. Big reason for this. Because our niyyah is wrong. We're reading the Quran for enjoyment. We've come to dhikr for enjoyment. We've come to become awliyaullah for kashf and karamat. And we think we're mufassir and commentators, and we're reading Quran for tafaseer and commentary, etc. So the first thing that's been explained here is that when Allah Ta'ala gives you the tawfiq, ability to do any good deed, then make your niyyah sincerely and solely for Allah's sake. Say Subhanallah. Do you understand the words of the fakir? Yes, khalis, solely, sincerely, keep for Allah, that I'm getting the dhikr of Allah here. For which reason? I'm going for Allah's sake. Whether I enjoy it or not, I'm going for Allah's sake. The Quran that I am reciting, I'm not looking for marifah, etc., or high grade status. I'm going to read it. Whether I understand it or not, I'm going to read it. Whether I understand it or not, I'm going to read it. Recite it. Why? Because make this niyyah. I'm not seeking enjoyment. I'm seeking Allah's pleasure. Say Subhanallah, Subhanallah. So then see what Allah Ta'ala says. That when instead of enjoyment, you're seeking Allah's radha, Allah says you're reciting for my radha, then I'll give you the enjoyment, Allah says. I will give you, and then if you don't get enjoyment, Allah says, then ask me, guarantee. Allah, now I'll enjoy. So if you get Allah's pleasure, yes, if you do an amal for Allah's radha, if after radha you don't get kashf, if Allah's rahmah doesn't come, but for that you don't wait. Now you don't seek. Rather all you say is that, my Rabb, I need him to be happy. Why? Look at the difference in this niyyah. Look at the difference in this niyyah. That for example, when you're doing amal, that is greater than enjoyment. That no deed has Allah Ta'ala left us empty-handed. The amal that Allah Ta'ala is inviting you to do, that do it. I won't call it hukam, I call it dawah. That Allah Ta'ala, for example, what hukam is he going to give? With love, he's giving us invitation. Invitation. Look at the difference in hukam, instruction, and dawah, invitation. Because instruction and invitation, difference, Allah is calling us with love. Come towards my salah. Come towards salah. Yes, not beating us with a stick. No, Allah is inviting. He's not strict and stern. They come towards salah. Why? Because behind that, Allah Ta'ala says, whatever amal you take, any deed, for example, dhikr or salah, when Allah Ta'ala makes you do that amal, then by enabling you to do that deed, the reason behind that is that when you do this amal, then Allah says, I'll give you this, I'll give you this, I'll give you this, I'll give you this. That no amal that Allah Ta'ala is giving you da'wah to do a deed when He's inviting you, it's not empty, devoid of benefit. Rather, Allah Ta'ala fills our pockets with the rewards. With the rewards. So, is there any enjoyment to replace that? So many rivers and hoor and this reward and that reward and one salah, mounds upon mountains of rewards. One gathering of dhikr, if you sit in it. So much Allah Ta'ala gives to you, the angels will tire in writing the kalamat you're reciting. So, do you want enjoyment or do you want Allah's radha, my brothers? So whenever you do any good deed, what do we need to think? Is that after this good deed, I pray salah, that Allah, I'm so grateful to you. Such a great reward you've given to me. Hajj and Umrah you've given to me. And all the thawab, so much you've given to me. Understand that in your pocket so much money has come that you cannot even walk. That's why the friends of Allah, you see that they bow. They submit when they walk. Why? Because it's the burden of the money that they have. Whenever they speak, when you speak, when they do big ibadah, great ibadah, then they bow and they walk like they have a burden on them. Yes? That, for example, are they ill? Is Hazrat unwell? No, they're not ill. They've collected the money, the wealth. They've collected the hoards of wealth. When there's wealth in your pocket from the shop, then your pocket, it dangles and you bow down a bit. So when you have so much wealth of the akhirah, then they bow with their blanket and their sheets. Say, Subhanallah. Humble. Such great notes. Oh, Subhanallah. They have the keys for the palaces and the mansions. This is his palace. That's his mansion. This is his palace. Why? Am I saying this? No. He's not a human being who doesn't have yaqeen Allah's promises. Allah says, Innaka la tukhliful mi'ad. That am I lying? Am I not saying correct? that after dhikr, I'm going to give you this and that. Is this a lie? No. So then, should we leave these deeds by listening to shaitan's instruction? Never. Whether you enjoy or not, we're going to come. Whether we sin, we're still going to come. Two things we've understood. Enjoyment, still come. And if you sin, still come. And Allah's promise, when we fulfill Allah's promise, all the rewards will come, alhamdulillah. So what need do we have to leave that deed? We should come, most definitely. So will you then leave that deed? No. So the great learning. Allah's given us tawfiq, and we embrace that, progress, increase it, multiply it, alhamdulillah. So now all these things, these actions that we do, for Allah's given this to us, how can we reject and deny this? How can we go back, do a U-turn? So shaitan, who is our enemy, his enmity is what takes us behind, backwards. Allah Ta'ala has promised. The next point is that, will my deed be accepted or not? This is another waswasa of shaitan, whispering of shaitan. Oh yaar, I prayed salah, my mind was going somewhere else, my thoughts were going somewhere else. I don't know if my deeds are accepted or not. Shaitan, he makes you lose hope in your actions. He makes you give up. Oh, you're nothing, you're mad praying salah. What's the benefit of praying salah? You're wasting your time. You're stood there praying salah, thinking about your shop. You could have been at your shop earning 4 or 5 pounds. He makes you give up, lose hope. Oh, you don't understand. When did you do sajda? What did you recite? When did you do ruku? You went to dhikr. Many people say, dhikr, I don't enjoy it. I don't understand what's going on, what I'm saying, etc. So in their mind, shaitan instills that this amal of yours is not being accepted. And he makes him believe this, that it's not accepted now, your amal, and that man gives up. Then I'm not being accepted. I prayed salah, I did dhikr. It's not being accepted. What shall I do? Why should I say Allah, Allah, Allah? I do Allah, Allah, etc. But it's not being accepted. If it was accepted, then this wouldn't have happened. If it was accepted, then that wouldn't have happened. That, but if you want to look at acceptance, we're looking at Allah's acceptance of our deeds. How can you measure that? Allah says with regards to acceptance, what a beautiful statement. How Allah has prepared that within a second, you can understand if your deeds are accepted or not. You can realize that. I'll give you an example here. The question. That a person who recites a nasheed, he recites a nad, there's a majlis, a gathering. He recites a nad. And if people like, if the committee likes it, all people are saying, wah, wah, they're happy, he recited a nad, nasheed, enjoyment, what will happen? The people of the committee, the public, they'll force him to return again, to repeat it. Hazrat, please come again, please honor us with your service and recite nad. Oh, how comes you read nad like this, nasheed, and they'll praise him. So what will they request? They'll invite him to come again, won't they? If they didn't like his nad nasheed, wouldn't they call him back again? No, yeah, I'd be gone with him, get good riddance, oh, he bored us, he'll bore us again, let's not call him. Will anyone invite him again? No. So what we realize is that when you invite him to come again, then the whole gathering like that person, people, the public, like them, time and time again, repeatedly, they'll call him again. Masla is clear. So you prayed salah, your Rabb made you pray salah again, so understand Allah likes your salah. Allah likes your salah. Say subhanallah. So when you do an action, when the servant, if you're calling a human being and the committee of the mosque calls him again because they like him, so my Rabb, will he call you for nothing? Yes, that this is Allah's court, such a great court of Allah, his home. He's inviting you again. What a big deception of shaitan. That when you come again for salah, this proves to you that Allah has accepted your first salah. Allah loved your salah so much, your Rabb. And we, what does shaitan say? Oh, what's the benefit? It's not accepted. Oh, servant of Allah, the next salah has made you pray, then consider the first one is accepted. Now let's go beyond that. I speak to you beyond that. Allah Ta'ala says a great thing. Allah says that why do you go so far looking for Allah's pleasure and acceptance from one salah? It's not from one salah to another salah. Allah says when you do the first prostration in salam, and after the first prostration, when you do the second prostration, then the first prostration testifies that Allah has accepted your first prostration. Otherwise, Allah will not allow you to do, enable you to do the second prostration. If this was such a big deal, Allah's acceptance of deeds, then such great personalities could not bow in front of Allah. Kings, millionaires, scientists, such a great dunya, but they don't have the tawfiq that they can bow and submit to Allah. But the poor man in the mud hut, the fakir, poverty, wearing old clothes, and he's prostrating time and time again. Allah, is he pleased with him or with that first person? Tell me, say subhanallah. So then, So is your deeds been accepted or not? Your salah been accepted or not? We're talking about sajda, the next sajda. Then what about salah, the next salah? Yes, sir. There's one point. That if you pray salah, and if you are delaying and neglecting the next salah, then I'll say again that to you, suddenly become alert, that my Rabb is upset with me. This is what you need to think about. Yaar, I came to Fajr, why didn't I come to Dhuhr? Oh, my Rabb is unhappy with me. Why? Because if I could have come to Dhuhr, if Allah gave me the tawfiq, then most definitely my Rabb was happy with me if I came to Dhuhr. 100% He is happy with me. But now I did not arrive, something stopped me, I didn't understand the importance, and most definitely my Rabb is unhappy with me. Now here you need to do the next action, the second action. Say Subhanallah, Subhanallah. What is that? That please your Rabb until Asr. Cry, regret, dua, supplication. Allah, I've made a big mistake. What mistake have I made? Allah, what have I done wrong? Allah, Allah, forgive me, my Mawla, my Rabb. Allah, please, why did you not give me tawfiq to present myself in your court? That, for example, you say he's good, Naat Khan, Nasheed, he recites. You'll say, please, why don't you come again? Why didn't people invite him again? That, did I not recite it properly? Did you not like my Naats? You know, inviting me again? Was there a defect? Will he say this or not, that person? Isn't it? So here you have to understand this point, that my Rabb, how comes he didn't give me tawfiq? That Fajr he called me. What happened at Dhuhr time? Most definitely I committed a sin or a mistake or I disobeyed. Seek it, look for it, do istighfar to Allah, do tawbah, repent, so that the door can open up for you again, and then you can go again at Asr and prostrate again. Subhanallah. What a connection between Allah and His servant. Say Subhanallah. This is the connection of Allah, the Rabb. Within a second, a human being cannot be detached from his Rabb. So if Allah gives you tawfiq to do dhikr, Subhanallah, and in the morning you don't come to dhikr in the morning, sometimes you come, sometimes you don't, then understand when you're not doing that amal, that deed that Allah Ta'ala enabled you to do, your Rabb will be unhappy with you until that time, that another sin upon another sin, shaitan will make you repeat until you do not please Allah and you don't come back towards that deed. So can a person now leave the deeds and take a U-turn? Tell me. What a great lesson Allah has given to us. Allah has explained to us these points. The shaitan is our enemy. Our nafs is our enemy. We say, oh, I left a salah. It's okay, I pray at home. What difference does it make? For prayer, don't we understand? Allah is unhappy with you, with me. He's not giving tawfiq that you go again to his home. And in the masjid, in the same way, you do sajda and prostration. Why? So here, what's the masala? That not acceptance we're looking for. Why? Because to us, the certificate of acceptance is present. After one, again you go straight away to the next. Broken down, bone idle, doesn't matter. Present your prayer to Allah, worship. The previous one will be accepted, Alhamdulillah. You will not be empty-handed. So those people should be worried that in the morning he's come, but he doesn't come to Asr, comes to Asr, doesn't come to Dhuhr. And he thinks that he is a permanent namazi, thinks he is pleased Allah. Oh, he's not given importance to repeat it. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. If you want to see, look at those people with consciousness. That any person who has arrived to Allah's Qurb, Nenis, can he imagine that his salah is ended like that, or his dhikr remains, or his tasbih remains, or Allah has given me the amal, that deed, it stops, immediately be upset. Cry, he's finished. Allah, what mistake have I made? Allah, forgive me. And this is called the life of the mu'min, the tariqah of living his life. We are not here for eating and drinking, not for earning money, hoarding wealth, and putting roasted chickens in the stomach. We're not here for this, or eating kebabs and shababs. Our fikr concern is one concern. My Rabb should be happy with me ongoing. Alhamdulillah. Say Subhanallah, Subhanallah. Do you understand what I'm saying or not? Do you understand? You understand? Or you don't understand? Tell me the truth. Or am I just working hard for nothing? At least I should get some benefit, and there is benefit for me, but you should also get benefit for sure. That's why I'm asking. So do you understand? So then, the real genuine thing we're looking for, who enables us, who makes us sin and takes us towards the reverse gear and puts us into the game of enjoyment, and your deeds are not accepted. Who is that? Who is that? Is he your friend or your enemy? Tell me. Who is it? He's your enemy. Which enemy? Aduwwun mubin. Who? Nafs and shaitan. So the person of wisdom, akal, at that time when a human being is about to do a good deed, he comes to dhikr, remembers Allah, does tawbah, bayah. First and foremost, what does he need to do? Is nafs and shaitan, he needs to control. He needs to protect himself from that enemy. Otherwise, he will take you back towards the reverse gear and the backward trend. So don't lower your guard. First action you need to do is to save yourself from him. So if Allah has given you the order to save yourself, let's explain, shaitan is your avowed enemy. Then has Allah Ta'ala not arranged and explained to us how to save ourselves from shaitan, or has he not? If Allah Ta'ala is saying he's your enemy, shaitan, your nafs, save yourself from them. So has Allah not given us a tariqah to save ourselves? So when Allah has prescribed the tariqah, then adopt the tariqah, the method. Allah has given us a tawfiq to do tawbah, tawfiq to do dhikr, I'm coming, first my day for me. Then I should stay like this always, don't go backwards. So first action we need to do is that nafs and shaitan, we need to control them, suppress them with that method that Allah and His Nabi have prescribed to us. So that we don't even have to turn back and they invite us with sin or give us tricks and give us their trick of enjoyment. So that we don't even go down that path. So what amal should we do? Immediately when Allah gives you tawfiq, then Allah has given an amal when He gives you tawfiq to do good deeds, through which shaitan and nafs die, evaporate, cool down, freeze. They don't even come near to you. How? Allah's Nabi Sallam has given an example for this solution. Beautiful example. Allah's Nabi Sallam said, there's an enemy of yours running after you. And he has the weapon. And you are running away and he's running after you, the enemy. And he is close to you to hit you, to harm you. By chance in front of you, you see a fort, a castle. You go into the castle and secure yourself. And that enemy remains outside and you're safe. Say Subhanallah. Rasulullah said in the same way, when nafs and shaitan are running after you to grab you, then you should run away from them. They are running after you, nafs and shaitan. So what do you need? You need the fort, the castle. Allah's Nabi said, what is the fort? It's the dhikr of Allah, the remembrance of Allah. Say Subhanallah. When the servant of Allah sits and does dhikr of Allah, then immediately Allah Ta'ala says, you have come into that fort, that castle that shaitan cannot penetrate. He cannot enter. So it's proven, whenever you do a good action, a good deed, then left and right, front and back, what should you do? Dhikr of Allah in parallel. So that amal is protected, safeguarded. That's why Allah Ta'ala has said, Hajj, do it once in the life, enough. Enough. Suffices, Ramadan once a year, 30 fast, that's enough. Stated, give zakah, this is the percentage, that's enough. It will suffice. That's it. The boundaries, upper limits. Allah says, Salah, 5 times a day, enough. Will suffice. But dhikr, wadhkurullah kathiran kathira. High quantity, high quantity. Because shaitan every second is running after you. So don't just do this tasbih, this is enough. Always, every second, remain in the dhikr of Allah. So shaitan cannot come near to you and you are closed and sealed in that fort. Soon as you are free from dhikr, then shaitan will catch you, he will penetrate you, he'll generate waswasa within you and he'll drag you towards hell. It could be that the time of death, it comes at that time when he is influenced you, so Allah has given you protection. That's why the walis of Allah say, come. The first invitation they give after tawbah, the first action to implement after, before all other deeds, what's the action to do? Is to do the dhikr of Allah, the remembrance of Allah. Alongside dhikr, do tabligh and read Quran and pray salah, do hajj, zakah. Dhikr in parallel, you'll be closed and sealed in that fort, castle, morning and evening, always stay in the dhikr of Allah. First and foremost, the first action we need to do in our life after tawbah is to do the dhikr of Allah. That's why we do dhikr. So brothers, this is the situation that I've explained to you. Alhamdulillah, this is how we need to secure ourselves. And in this way, live your lives. Inshallah, Allah's promise is that you will enter into paradise laughing and smiling. It's not difficult, is it, brothers? Is it difficult? It's a system. Allah's given a methodology. Methodology, a system. That system, enable it, take hold of it, grab it. Beautiful system, Allah. Follow the tartib, the schedule, the method. Inshallah, there'll be no barriers for you. And you will spend your life as true mu'mins. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq to do this. Ameen. Recite the ruchin.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. As-salatu was-salamu ala sayyidi al-mursaleen. Shafi'i al-muslimin. Taha wa yasin min habib al-ameen. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina maulana Muhammadin nabiyil ummi wa azwajihi ummahatil mu'minin wa zurriyyatihi wa ahli baitihi kama sallaita ala ibrahim wa ala ibrahim innaka hamidun majid wa sallim tasliman daiman awdan kaseeran kaseera. Ae mere maula apne fazl o karam se mere maula hum sab ke gunahon ko maaf farma, hum sab ki bakhshish farma, ya allah hum sab ki bakhshish farma. Ae mere maula tu apne fazl o karam se hamare maa baap ki bakhshish farma. Ya Allah, hamare haqeen ki bakhshish farma, hamare janne walon ki bakhshish farma. Ae mere maula, hame nek amal karne ki taufeeq naseeb farma. Ya Allah, tere fazl o karam se jo baatein hum tak aaj pahunchi mere maula, jo humne suni hai kahin mere maula, usme amal ki taufeeq naseeb farma. Nabi paak sasam ki ya Allah, har sunnat se hame ishq aur mohabbat naseeb farma. Aapki sunnat tak paak zindagi guzarne ki taufeeq naseeb farma. Ae mere maula, aakhirat mein sabse zyada mehroom woh shakhs hoga اس کی زندگی نبی پاک کی اتباع کے بغیر ہوگی. اے میرے مولا, ہمیں محرومین سے بچا. میرے مولا, ہماری زندگی کے ہر لمحہ جاگنا, اٹھنا, بیٹھنا, چلنا, پھرنا, لباس, شکل, صورت, تمام کی تمام میرے مولا آپ نبی نبی سنت کے مطابق بنا دے. اے میرے مولا شیطان اور اس کے شر سے میں محفوظ فرما. ذکر کرنے والا مولا صبح اور شام کی مجلس میں آنے کی توفیق نصیب فرما. اگر توفیق نصیب فرما دے تو میرا حل وسابس سے ہمیں دور فرما. اے میرے مولا اپنے فضل کرم سے آج کی ہماری مجلس کو قبول فرما. وصلی اللہ تعالیٰ علی خیر خلق محمد و آلہ و صحبہ اجمعین برحمتک یا ارحم الراحمین. سبحان ربک رب العزت عما یصفون وسلام علی المرسلین والحمد للہ رب العالمین.